Welcome to the Lioness Queen podcast, where our motto is all about living residue-free, not allowing the residue from a negative event in your life hinder you from moving forward where God is leading and directing you. Your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha, founder, speaker, author, divorce coach, and licensed minister, provides motivating messages that will help encourage and empower women to live their best life beyond their past and recognize the worth of their crown. Now let's jump into your weekly dose of letting go of the past and living totally residue-free. Here's your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my Lioness Queens. Today is February the 29th, the fifth Thursday in the month of February. Happy February. Happy Thursday. Happy 2024. Happy Leap Day and happy Leap Year. Wow, this is my first time, you know, saying that since the conception of this podcast. You know, it happens every 4 years. And I'm like, wow, happy Leap Day. And so, as you know, we're still in the month of February. This is the last day in the month, but we're going to continue going through my new workbook, Resuscitate the Heart, a 12-week workbook to heal the trauma within. And so if you've not purchased the book, please visit our website at www.iamthelionessqueen.com so you can follow along with us on this journey as we are healing our hearts. Amen. Again, thank you so much, you know, for all of your support. I cannot thank you enough. Definitely, while supplies last, order your copy today. And guess what? If you feel like you're good and you don't have any trauma to work through, that's okay. Order a book for a friend or a loved one who you know is really struggling to heal from their trauma. And so this week's episode, we are in week 5. I'm just like, oh my gosh. These weeks are really going by. And so we are in week 5. And the title of this week is called Residue from Your Past. Residue from Your Past. We'll be right back. Well, before we get started, you know how we love doing it on this podcast. We love starting out with a quote or a poem to get our episode started. We love supporting poets' creativity, and we're so honored to do so. So since we're still digging deep into the workbook, I'm going to use a quote from the book that says, "People commonly assert that loss is hard, but does it have to be?" I'm going to say that again. People commonly assert that loss is hard, but does it have to be? And so this is a question that I would say has bombarded my mind even before the loss of my husband. And, you know, I just want to give you some questions, just some questions for food, like food for thought, right? As you are thinking and working on the residue from your past. And so here are some questions. Why do we say and make these statements that the death of a loved one is so hard? Who told you that it was hard? Why is it that people say you will never get through that? People give priority of death based on which one is the most challenging, especially if you lose a child, if a child dies before a parent. What have we learned about death from the world? But what have we learned about death from the scriptures? And so the question is, do the scriptures parallel with what the world is saying, or is there a different narrative? And so day one of this week starts out with an activity with matching up the triggers in your life that influence the trauma that has happened in your life. And so, in other words, you're trying to make this connection between the trigger and the trauma, right? What triggers your trauma? That's basically what the exercise does. What triggers your trauma? Definitely good food for thought. And so you should know this is key information in releasing the residue from your past, because until you know the triggers, then you won't be able to get on the front end of sifting through that residue, right? And then the second part of that exercise of that day is about meditating and identifying what is really stopping you from healing. What is stopping you from really digging down, digging in deep, and really figuring out what's going on? And so this is a question only you can answer. Day two is all about helping you understand that how you learned about death influences what you say and ultimately what you believe. It also influences how you feel, and it influences what behaviors you have. So it influences what you say, it influences what you think, it influences your emotions, it influences how you behave and respond, and ultimately it influences what you believe. So what do you say about death? And I'm asking you this question, and I want you to think about it. What do you say about death that does not line up with the word of God? And, you know, unfortunately, many of us fall into, I would say, this category of learning from others and copying what other people say, because that is the norm. Not necessarily because that is what the word says, right? You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and what comes out of your mouth dictates your narrative that can embrace death, right? And anticipate the difficulty of the loss. But why do we adopt the world's language and claim that things are too difficult, right? And so this is just food for thought when the world says we are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, I'm not saying that we should not grieve, right? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have to be careful with what we say out of our mouths. Day three is all about considering the residue from things that were self-imposed, right? And so in a nutshell, there may be decisions you have made in the past that left you feeling shame, regret, and guilt. Those are three cousins that really, when they start, they don't really want to let go. They don't want to stop. They really want to sing Kumbaya together. They really are bad. Bad influences, but the enemy seeks to amplify the feelings of those three cousins, shame, regret, and guilt, because it directs your attention towards yourself and it helps you to amplify those inadequacies, right? But when you live by God's grace instead of relying on the law, right, He will strengthen you to overcome those negative thoughts and false perceptions of yourself. And all you can do is forgive yourself. All you can do is let go and let God. All you can do is allow God to guide you. And so this process takes time, right? As the residue stems from actions you took, but God wants you to believe that His grace is more than enough. Day four is all about the wall you've built up, this coping mechanism to protect yourself, this defense mechanism that you have used over the years so that you don't experience hurt again. But it's like a placebo effect. It is pretending to have courage and be strong, but it is just a plan of action you've developed due to the residue from the people who have hurt you over the years. And so this particular day, I'm asking you to think about three inspirational songs that help you to shift your mind in a way to let go of the cares of this world, let go of what's going on in your life, let go of the trauma that you've been holding on to since you were a kid, and helps you to realize God is your strength and your portion forever. Amen. Amen. Day five is all about writing and composing your personal psalm unto the Lord. And so here is my psalm. Baba, I know your grace is undeserved favor, and it cannot be earned, but I am graciously appreciative. You freely gave it to me without thinking. Your grace is a precious gift and really an expression of how much you love little old me. Thank you, God, for loving me in my unlovable spaces, when I felt you could have healed Charles, when I felt you could have stopped the seizures from happening, when I felt you could have dried up the cancer from his body. But today I repent. I repent for questioning your will. I repent for being selfish. And I repent for feeling like you were not listening to my prayers. I know there's still some residue from the loss, you know, and that at times it makes me question why. I never want to question your authority, Sovereign One. I just know that you said I can make my request known to you. Nevertheless, I know my prayers never fall on deaf ears. I know you are always on the edge of your throne, on the edge of your seat, every time I pray, waiting to hear what I will say. Isaiah 41:10 lets me know I never have to be afraid of any circumstances, because you are always by my side, and you will always respond to give me the strength to overcome no matter what I face. Thank you, Baba, for that promise, because you are my everything. Although when challenges arrive, I do regret feeling anxious about things that are out of my control. When my mind begins thinking like a human who is anxious, I will arrest it and be reminded to speak over my circumstances that ain't no need to worry, because you will strengthen me to overcome. I am thankful that over this past half of a century of my life, I've learned to tame my negative thinking and release the residue from my past negative experiences. I'm thankful I've learned to tame my monologue and check it with what your word says is true about me. Now, sometimes it may not be immediate, Daddy, but I don't stay in that negative space long, because I know who I am in you. I will forever give you praise, Baba, because these past seven years, your sovereignty has dominated every area of my being. I cannot look back. And not once can I ever say that you were never there for me. I will forever give you praise for the rest of my days, because I never would have made it without you. I would have lost my mind, because I never would have made it without you. Woo, amen and amen. Day six is all about how your mindset can be your biggest threat. See, the enemy is after your mindset, and he wants to steal your faith, kill your hope, and destroy your beliefs. But God wants you to be whole. But the answer is all in your perspective of changing the narrative of how you view the trauma. God has given you everything you need. And so the question is, how was the trauma you experienced a part of God's destiny for your life? Think about that. How was the trauma that you experienced all a part of God's plan? It's a perspective, but God wants you to use your story for his glory. And so this week was all about releasing the residue from your past and making the connection, right? How your triggers connect to your trauma, how they impact your thinking, your emotions, and your behaviors. the residue from what you learned about death. Because you learn some things about death. You internalize some things about death. And the words that you speak out into the atmosphere have power that can change the trajectory of your life. How are you dealing with the residue from things that you, mistakes that you made, things that were self-imposed that you feel you cannot forgive yourself when God has forgiven you? You're holding yourself to a higher standard than God, and He wants you to let it go. You gotta stop using that placebo effect, a coping mechanism that you use. You build up this wall to cut yourself off from the world because you've been hurt so much. You won't really be able to see the residue to release it if you don't let it go. And lastly, you have to understand that the enemy can disrupt your mindset. He can change the trajectory of your life when you give him permission to do so. Amen and amen. God wants you to release the residue. Because there's residue, right? Some of us have made really good strides in our healing process. But we do have triggers. And triggers impact your trauma. Amen. Amen. I definitely could not have made it without all of your support of the Lioness Queen podcast. Remember to subscribe and share a review. I would absolutely love to hear from you. And also get your book, While Supplies Last, Resuscitate Your Heart, a 12-week workbook to heal the trauma within. Until next time, let's open a new door and believe God will restore in 2024. Amen and amen.